and I'll finish when I read my scripture. I turned my prayer list over because I went to the back and I got pray for Carrie and Bobby. We'll do this after we read our scripture. Well, I had a message. I've got a message here in my Bible, and I went to go over the scripture again, and I never got to it and got to another message. So turn in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 18. Y'all pray for me as we see where the Spirit leads, because that's definitely the case here. But when you're drawn to scripture and it's, you know, bringing tears to your eyes, you know God's doing something. Amen. So Matthew 9:18, if you stand with me to honor the reading of his word. Thank you for coming out on Wednesday. And a proof statement, people do still want to pray and study the Bible. Amen. During the week. Matthew 9:18 says, "While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him." Now listen to this. "Saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased with the issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making noise, he said to them, give place. The maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. And the fame thereof went abroad into all the land. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, believe you that I am able to do this? And they said to him, yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were open, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that no man knoweth it. But when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man, possessed with the devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, he casteth out devils through the prince of the devils. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But he saw the multitudes. He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Dear God, I thank you for your word. Lord, and I pray that we be found laborers, Lord, not church members, Lord, not church attenders, Lord, not even church position fillers, Lord, but we be laborers, Lord, in your fields, Lord, that are outside the walls of this church. And dear God, I do pray tonight for Carrie, Lord. I pray you touch his knee. I think about how hardworking Carrie has always been. I think about how this affects his work, Lord, and I just pray that you would touch that knee. And Lord, word seems to be coming, Lord, that the doctors don't know if they can do anything. But Lord, we know that you can do the impossible. And we pray, Lord, that you would do that impossible thing, Lord, that you might even heal his knee tonight. And we continue to praise your holy name, Lord, for Colby and just the things we take so for granted, Lord, just even the simple act of going out and fishing. And we thank you for the miracle, Lord. We heard reports, Lord, that he's on the ventilator, Lord, and what could they do or what couldn't be done? And Lord, we just praise you. We see healing, Lord, in what we've read tonight, Lord, so we praise you. And I pray for Bobby Nolan, Lord, and now, Lord, it's been revealed that he needs a liver, and we know, Lord, that just pray, Lord, that you provide that, be thy will for him. Even thinking of that person now who will be providing that liver, Lord, that they might know Jesus, and it might be a wonderful homegoing. If they not know Jesus, Lord, that they would find Jesus before they are able to give that life-giving donation, Lord. So we pray for him tonight, Lord. Lord, we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I have to tell you one thing, and I cannot verify the accuracy of this, but I didn't even really connect it. It's not got anything to do with the message tonight, really, because we won't even get to verses 37, 38. But look in 37, 38, and it's about laborers. I have met a gentleman recently and his family grew up in the over the New Hope Church area, Polk Mountain Grocery area, and he told me something. He said, "Preacher, I want to tell you a little background about New Hope Church. I can't wait to talk to Marty. I don't get tonight. In fact, pray. There's several pastors that are going up to Raleigh tomorrow. The lieutenant governor is going to kind of speak to some. And I'm not going to be able to go, but I know Marty's going. So pray for them as they go and that God use that time. But I can't wait to tell Marty this when he gets back. This Jim said, let me tell you about the history of New Hope Church. He said, my family, we gave the land for that church. And you always think, now where's this going? You know, this has got to be really interesting. He said, we gave land to that church. He said, with two stipulations. He said, it's written down. It's in the church. I guess whatever history is written down. Said if it ever wasn't a church anymore, it had to go back to the family. The heirs got the land. And he said the other thing it says, if they found gold on the property, that belonged to the family. He's not a preacher. I don't know what kind of gift that was, you know, with that. So that tickled me. And so why this verse? I said, well, my goodness, brother. I said the family weren't thinking. I said, unfortunately, there's not enough laborers usually in any church that they go out and find any gold. Amen? So, go back to verse 18. That's what Jesus said. Wait a minute, that's what Jesus said. Now, let me just get this right, you know. The preacher didn't say that. Jesus said that. But we know it's true, amen? We know it's true. But go back to verse 18, and I hope that we can, before we go to verse 18, though, look at verse 26. Verse 26 says, and so Jesus is doing these miracles. He's on the way. If you would, as he's on the way to raise a young girl from the dead, he heals a woman. And then he's going to go on and he's going to allow two blind men to see, a dumb man, which means he can't speak. He's going to allow him to speak. So he's doing all these miracles along the way after he rose the girl from the dead. It says, and the fame thereof went abroad into all the land. And that verse just caught me. That's kind of the main context of the verse that caught me. As I was getting ready this afternoon, I was thinking, my goodness, to think about, amen, right? Could you imagine you've got someone that's died? At least imagine that. Think about Deborah the other night. Can you imagine that someone is dead, Jesus Christ rises them from the dead, and then it says the fame of what he did spread the world. And we say, well, practically, so that makes sense. You know, that would obviously, if that happened today, was witnessed and proved, it'd be on Fox News and CNN. It would be all over the place. The fame would go abroad. But the most convicting part as we read this passage tonight, and we're going to look at some things and think about how this could become evident in our lives and our church, is this fact. Y'all, listen, why in the world for us does not his fame just continually go out every moment of every day? Because what he did is he rose us from the dead. Amen. We were dead in trespasses and sin. We were on the way to hell, and Jesus Christ gave us new life. Amen. So if he would, he saved us from death. We were spiritually dead, and he rose us. And so this fame is this, as I thought about that, why that fame were jumped off is we're in that presidential election time period, and the fame of the candidates, you know, people, you know, the fame and the news and all the reporting and, you know, the lifting up of Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. I mean, it's incredible, isn't it? I mean, this is what's great about them, you know. And in terms of, you know, there was always negative things about Jesus. Well, there's always negative things about a candidate. But all this talking about them, all the fame, you think about sports and how crazy our world is about the fame of sports stars. I've realized recently in a couple of different occasions with the NBA, you know, finals going on, the playoffs are going off, you know, and I'll hear people talking about, especially LeBron James, he says this, he does this, and they'll talk about other teams, and just that's what I'm thinking, man, how many times do I go somewhere and hear about the fame of Jesus being talked about? That someone's saying, you know, man, I was just praying the other day and I was reading the scripture. I was sharing Jesus with somebody. I mean, you're just, the fame of sports figures, the fame of business leaders and all. So, y'all, listen, it's us. It's up to us, okay? It's up, as the Bible says, that little remnant of people that still hang on to his word and still think, hey, that he's still famous in our life. Don't you want him to be the most famous person in your life? And what the most famous person in your life is, and the one you most, that's who you talk about most. And so I guess I'm going to start, when I start hearing people talk about sports or business, politics, I want to find somebody, if nobody's with me, and just start talking very loud about Jesus Christ. Amen? Remember that time Jesus Christ, you know, raised that daughter from the dead? But look in verse 18. Now look just for a moment. It says, while he spake these things, and he's been giving answers about let's just go back in verse 12. Verse 12 said, when Jesus heard that, he said to them that they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go you and learn that what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners into repentance. Then he came to his disciples, and he starts explaining to them about fasting. And so he's trying to help the people understand what he's really about and what's important and what's the keeping the main thing, if you would. And so in this passage, after all this has been said, he spoke these things, and he's there, and all of a sudden a certain ruler doesn't even give the ruler's name. Doesn't even give the person's name. And then, don't you want to find people like this in the Bible when you get to heaven? I mean, we're going to be there for an eternity. An eternity is a long time. We're going to be serving God. And I just hope that I'll get opportunity. I hope that I'll be doing something in heaven and somebody will say, hey, look over there. That's the ruler whose daughter was raised. Now, I mean, I'm a mate. Well, I'm way over there and talk to him a little bit. Amen. So he says, but look what he did first. Now, here's what I would have done. If I had the knowledge of Jesus Christ like this person did, and if I had the faith that this ruler did, I'm telling you what I'm doing. I'm making my way to Jesus. And as soon as I get to Jesus, I'm talking to him about my dead daughter and asking him, we got to get to the house now and do something. Is that what he did? Look what he did. What did he do? What's it say he did? It says he worshiped. It says he worshiped him. This will make me cry. Y'all, there is so much more to worship than we really ever get a hold of, that really, really take time to do. On Saturday night, it was probably about 9:30 or 10 o'clock, I got a call. And I want you to pray for this unnamed person. And I would tell this tonight, if they were here, in a even better testimony, I'm going to tell the story. But someone called me outside our church family. Thank God. They call someone in our church family, and they get in the preacher's number. So this person has a lot of problems, okay? And don't we all, amen? A lot of problems needs help. A lot of other things we're praying about, but you just needs help. So in the midst of the conversation, you know, I'll tell y'all this from the pulpit. I tell everybody I talk to. I asked this question. I said, how is your relationship with the Lord? Okay? Now let's pause a minute. We don't get a lot of details about this ruler who came to Jesus, his habits or what he did, but some things really jump off the page. He was about worshiping. He was about worshiping Jesus. He was about knowing he could come to Jesus when he had a problem. So we had the picture that he had this relationship with God, amen? And there was worship involved. So I'm talking to this person. I'm so thankful, and I hope you'll join me and begin using this. Because, you know, y'all, a lot of times when I hear problems, they're so overwhelming. And some of them have been going on for so long, and it's been built up. And when the person is testifying, I'm to blame, and this is going on forever, what do you say? Ray, what verse are you going to pick out? You know, what verse are you just going to throw at them? What are you going to say? And so I was praying, and I began to give a few scripture, and then I said, listen, what I want to suggest, if your relationship's not good, not interested, I'm going to give you just a basic plan. I said, God, I think God has given us a basic plan in the church, and that basic plan is this. I said, just be at church Sunday morning. I said, we're starting earlier Sunday morning. I invited them to breakfast, and I said, come. And I explained, I said, Sunday schools, I believe God might have a verse from the teacher that I don't have for you, and God might do something. I said, we'll have a time of worship. I said, it's just the way God's designed it. I said, come back on Sunday night for an hour. That's three on Sunday, and then come on Wednesday. I said, I've got a basic plan. I said, let's just start with that basic plan. Amen? And then just see where God goes from there. Well, you know, Sunday morning, you know, I have that great anticipation. I'm praying so hard to be there, you know, and it don't take long to scan the crowd, you know, and not here. Later on Sunday afternoon, I get that text. Can you call me? And I already said, and listen, please, when you're talking to people, the basic plan works. Amen. The basic plan works. God uses it in our lives. So share the basic plan. And here's what I tell people when I share the plan. I say, now listen, I'll love you. I'll talk to you. I'll help you all I can. But until you do what we've talked about tonight, there's nothing else I can do. Now that'll help you with your family, with your neighbors, with other people. Give them the plan. Love them. Pray for them. Don't ostracize them or fuss at them, but stay right with the plan. Sunday afternoon, I read those scriptures. I said, "All and nothing's any better." It's going to take a little longer than this. By the way, notice you didn't make it church Sunday. Were you just too tired to come? Just too tired and wore out to come? It was a setup. Too tired and wore out to come? Yes, I was too tired working. I said, "Well, you're going to be even more wore out at 6 o'clock tonight." But I said, "You got to get to church. I said, you got to get." His daughter's dead. And what's he doing? He's worshiping. He's worshiping. God is trying to remind, there's something about worship. Don't sell church short. And I even challenge you this. You notice how I didn't tell that person to call? Well, if you'll just come Sunday morning, here's what we do. I want to invite you to church. We have preaching at 11 o'clock. You know, because you're thinking, they ain't coming to church. If I can just, no. Give them the plan. Give them what you're expecting. You're expecting them to get in the basic plan. And listen, so if that scares them off, let them go ahead and get scared off. If they won't come, if they can't come with the expectation that we need to come and worship him, just let them not come. Amen? Till they're ready. Y'all right? Because here's the thing. I'll never forget one time sitting at a ball game. If this don't happen much anymore, because, you know, when you really try to be soldiers of Christ and you try to stand on the word, your popularity ratings go down, okay? As pastor in church, y'all okay? Everybody okay? I never forget we were tearing the church down, you know, and that was one of the hardest things we wanted to do. First church ever pastored, baptized my daughter here, got saved, all this stuff. I don't want to tear down the building. We're in Charlotte, me and Jimmy Questberry's in Charlotte. We come out of a little conference thing and outside, and you know, it had always been this most wonderful thing to be part of this church. And this lady on the street, actually, she said, "Aren't you the pastor of Hammond's Cross Special?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, I am." She laid into me, she let me have it. I think her fifth cousin had gone here at one time in her life, and she was mad. She was mad. I got to the hospital that day. I told the builders, Eric. I said, "Listen, listen. I said, this is being done. We got to do it. We got to do it fast." I said, "You can't drag out tearing that building down. You know, I'm like, we're getting ready to worship. We're having." I said, "Get it." I said, "We tear it down and get it away before we come back to worship." That morning after they tore it down, it's laying in a pile. And I promise you, they did it late at night, you know, and they got it gone pretty quick. But that morning, this nurse from Monroe had come by, and I was at a surgery. And she'd always been real nice to me. But our church laying in a pile made her so mad that she came around the corner. She wouldn't speak to me, and she about jerked one of those curtains off in the same day surgery area. She was mad because she walked by and said, "That's the worst thing I've ever seen in my life." Now, I didn't necessarily feel like see the church in a pile. But what we were getting to is a good thing, amen? So I'm sitting at a ball game, and I hear this girl say, "There he is. I want to go visit the church sometime, okay? So county commissioner, used to be a county commissioner in Union County. I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, people, I can hear what y'all were saying, you know, but I didn't turn around. I want to go to church. They came that Sunday. You know what I was preaching about? Tithing. Now, I'm sure that's not why they didn't come back. I'm sure the Holy Spirit wasn't leading them to be at church here, so the Holy Spirit led them to another church. But does it hurt to go ahead and get the tithing thing? You see what I'm saying? Go ahead and set. Brother Johnny Hunt has been trying to put in us as men at men's conference and me as pastor school for years. We are selling the message of God. We're set it high. This is what God. And say this, why I'm so excited about worship, and I'm more excited than ever about worship. In the context of worship, God raised the girl from the dead. Amen? That's a pretty good indication, because listen, what I can do, what you and I can do is we can go out tonight and we can say, and somebody's marriage is dying, amen, or their marriage is dead, and we say that Jesus Christ can come and get involved in that marriage and raise it from the dead, amen, that there can be a relationship that's dead between a child and their family or a grandchild in their, and pray for another unnamed person I was talking to today who's been raising a grandchild for years and just so much going on there, but that there's a dead relationship, no relationship's broken, and that Jesus Christ, in the context of our worship in Him. And listen, if your worship begins when you get here on Sunday morning, I dare say you don't have much worship. Because we wake up in the morning, we open His Word, and we be in prayer to Him, and we're worshiping Him. In the context that I can tell somebody, listen, you may think that's a lost cause, and that your child would never, but God can take a dead relationship and He can restore. Amen? We might have preached instead of Bible study now, I'm not sure. What do you need? Chris, when you've been talking to Rich, when you went to the hospital that day and Richard's laying on that hospital bed, and listen, in 20 years as a pastor, I've never had anyone go into surgery and die during surgery. So that means 20 years, in the past 20 years of this church, no one has gone into, we had somebody die not long after surgery, but never sitting there, you know, and come out. But it happens actually a lot, y'all. Anesthesia, different things. It happened to me a year before becoming a pastor. We pray for Phil Hargett. Sandy works with her husband, Stan, that's Sandra's aunt who needs the heart transplant. Her daughter had a child, had all kind of heart problems. Child had probably gotten up to, I don't know how many months old, had lots of trouble having surgery. I leave work. I go over, just going to sit with the family, be in a little bit. Hadn't been there long, David. They come out and say, we're going to move you into another little area and be more comfortable. And then the nurses start coming out and giving updates because things aren't going well. And then two doctors come out. And it's like a TV show. It's like on the TV. We did all we could, but your child died. So Richard could have died, right, Chris? So Chris goes into that area, been there many times, and so Richard is laying there, getting ready for surgery, and he's spiritually dead. According to the Bible, he's spiritually dead. And Jesus Christ touches him. And he's more alive now than he's ever been. He can die of cancer. This cancer can kill, but he'll be more alive. Deborah is more alive today than she's ever been. That's what Jesus can do. So let me ask you a question. What is dead inside? What's going on dead around you? A dead feeling inside? Relationship, something. All in the context of worship. So if we were worshiping more, I think His fame would spread more. Amen. Man, those people are crazy. You ever run in? And I'm talking about the preacher. Okay, I'm not talking about. I mean, you ever run into those people at Hamilton's Crossroads? They are so crazy about worshiping Him. They keep talking about this Jesus that they were spiritually dead and they're alive, and that they're even excited when people have died. And so they're more alive today than ever. They claim that verse where the day of somebody's death is better than the day of their birth. All they talk about is worshiping Him. Be excited about worshiping Him. That's Jesus, y'all. So my daughter's now even dead, but if you'll just come and lay thy hand upon her, she shall live. Now Jesus tells us in John chapter 14, I often read it during funerals, He says that He will not lead us comfortless, He will send a comforter. He says later in the chapter that I will give you peace, not as the world giveth I give you, but I'm going to give you a peace the world can't give. Okay, that's what Jesus, so this touch of Jesus, when Jesus died, He sent the Holy Spirit to live inside of us. It's Jesus living. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they're all fully God. So what literally the Bible is saying is that Jesus Christ comes, and when you're saved, he comes to live inside of you through the Holy Spirit. And when you go out and put your hand on somebody, what is that? It's a touch of Jesus. And the problem that this preacher has, and every one of you have, and everybody that is part of our church has, and every other church, to be honest with you, is that we have so missed worshiping. Because to be able to worship God when your daughter is laying home dead, amen? There's some kind of picture there. But it says what he's saying here is, Jesus, I know that if you'll come, if you'll just come, and you'll just lay your hand upon her, she'll live. And that's what we got to believe. Now we talk. That's how that fame spreads. I believe Jesus can do it. Amen. I believe he can do it. But too often, what we do, and I do it too, somebody starts describing something, you're like, "Good gracious alive, that can't be fixed. That's a mess. What are we going to do?" In verse 19, it says, Jesus arose and followed him. God, Jesus tells us to follow him. He'll make us fishers of men. The Bible is all about following him, but here we have a picture in the Bible where it says that someone came and worshiped him and told him what was wrong and told him what they believed. You know, every time we open the Bible, moment by moment during the day, think about those three things. Worshiping Jesus. And Jesus, I'm telling you, this is what's wrong. Jesus, fill in the blank. This isn't just about a dead daughter. Whatever's wrong, Jesus, this is what's wrong. But Jesus, I believe that if you simply will come and put your hand, here it's on her, put your hand on this situation. Jesus, I believe you'll put your hand on my hurting heart. I believe if you'll put your hand on my bitter heart. I believe you'll put your hand on my daughter, or on my son, or on my grandchild. I believe that if you'll just do that, then they'll live again, that there'll be something coming out of this worship, and they'll worship and they'll find you. In verse 19, it's saying that he arose and followed him, and all the disciples followed. Y'all, I just like this picture, okay? I'm on my knees, you know, at home, and I'm praying, and I'm saying, Jesus, I just believe that, you know, I'm just praying for this person that's lost, or I'm just going to the hospital, and they just found they got cancer. I'm going to home. And Jesus, I just believe that you need to touch them, and I can't do anything. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. And I get up off my knees, or you get up off your knees, you're getting ready to go to work, or you're getting ready to go to somebody's house, or you're going to the funeral home, or you're going to work, or wherever it is, that, hey, he's following. That's a good feeling, y'all, that we're not going alone. Jesus followed. And here's the greatest thing in the world. And along the way, somebody else had a need, and what did Jesus do? He met that need. He healed the woman with the issue of blood. But look what happens in verse 22. I mean, in verse 23. In verse 23, where he's healed the woman along the way. We've got that story to share. We've got many stories we can share that will promote his fame wherever we go. And then it says in verse 24, and said that, verse 23, and when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise. You know what's going on here? Does anybody remember when you used to keep your loved one that had died at home? Remember that? Okay. Last one I remember, I was pretty young. It was my great-grandmother. She was in the hallway. It was the front room of the house. It was the kitchen. It was a long hallway. She was like there. And just everybody was eating and doing all this stuff. And we were little kids. We kept running and playing around. I just kept thinking, man, this is, you understand it. So here's the picture. So where that came from is about years ago. Her daughter's dead. And their the house are gathered there. And they're playing music, okay? And don't know for sure, but what would happen, and I'm not sure who, it doesn't tell us who's making the noise here, But you know what people would do? They would hire mourners. They would literally hire mourners to come and mourn over people. That's just strange, amen? It's very strange. So here's the picture. Jesus comes in the house, and here's these, the minstrels are there, and these people are making all this noise, and they're wailing and crying, and Jesus says, y'all gotta get out. What would have happened if when he walked in the house, they were worshiping God? What would have happened? Would he have put them out? But there's a picture here that Jesus is basically, what he's saying here is, in verse 24, he said to them, give place. Make room for me. In other words, give me this place. Y'all got to get out. Now, I'll just help y'all some. I ain't talking about y'all now. I was talking about myself. There's times in my home that it'd be that if Jesus walked in, that he could say the same thing. Give me place. Mike, you shaking your head? I got so frustrated yesterday afternoon. And I don't know why I tell you all this stuff. You probably talk about me when you should be praying for me. But I was just so frustrated about a whole bunch of things that had nothing to do with church or ministry. All right, just don't go there. I was just frustrated. And we were getting ready to go pick Brooke and Dave at the airport. And by the way, thanks for praying for them. And I there's never a greater text that you get from "We have landed" when somebody you love's been gone. So, but I was so aggravated. And I had told Eric asked me what time we were leaving, and I told him that I didn't know what time we were leaving. We decide later for him to be ready at any moment. So I'm very aggravated, which I'm sure y'all don't get aggravated. And I walk upstairs, and Eric is in the bed asleep. Eric likes a lot to get in the bed and sleep, which drives me crazy. But I'm not his daddy, so. I said, Eric, get out of the bed and get. Hilton has worked hard all day. He's lying in the bed talking on the phone. Get out of that bed if you're going, you know. And you know who that, you know what I need? I needed this passage yesterday. Because it'd be good spiritually for some of us men especially, and some of you ladies probably need it too, that we take this verse and we think about, because see what's not happening. The daddy is going to find Jesus, and he's worshiped Jesus, and he's told, and everything's going on, and there's this, all these other people around that they just don't, they're just not right with God. What'll be the next time? Eric, let's me and you try this. If you tell me when you do, I'll tell you. You might not have this problem. Ray, I'm just kidding. Do this. Next time I get aggravated, I quote this. But you know, there's y'all is placing the Bible. Jesus said, give place and just walk outside. Say, Jesus had the place. I might try that one Sunday. Give place, for the maid is not dead but sleepeth. Did you know that anybody that dies, that applies to if they know Jesus Christ? Oh, think about it. I like that one. Thinking about my daddy, my grandpa's, grandma's now, you know. But then it says, and they laughed him to scorn. That's the other, and I don't know how long ago I underlined that, and I circled fame in my Bible. It's what caught my eye this afternoon, because I realized, y'all, is this. We don't like for people to laugh at us, do we? In a mocking, in a ridicule, in a making fun of way. We don't like that at all, do we, Tim? Because you like that when, I don't like that. Disrespect. There is so little respect left in our world for God and His Word, for church, for Christians, for pastors, for servants. I mean, it's just very little respect at all. But we don't like to be laughed at. We don't like people to mock us and laugh. And y'all, that's a problem. Because they laughed at Jesus. They laughed him to scorn. Because when he showed up, and when he told the truth, they laughed at him. Amanda, if everywhere we go, when we show up, if we tell the truth, people are going to laugh at us. But I'd rather get aggravated about that. You all right? I'd rather get mad about that. I always love it when people that used to call me Pastor Jeff or Preacher Jeff, if they get mad at you, they'll call you Jeff. I love that one. I love that one. I made you mad, so I'm not a pastor anymore, not a preacher anymore. I'm just a small thing, but it's a symptom of what's going on in our world. But listen, I'm telling y'all, I don't like to be laughed at. I don't like to be made fun of. It's just a pride thing. It's a problem thing. But I was so convicted as I was began to study over this passage and think, God, there's so much in this, but to think, Lord, let me be such a strong witness for Jesus Christ. That it doesn't matter where I go, that I've had the faith, I've been worshiping like the ruler, I've got the faith of the ruler, I have left telling Jesus where I'm going and what I need and what I'm going to, that's a problem. Usually we're not doing that. We're not praying and telling him what, we're just going. But I've gone in the way that Jesus is following me, and when I come in the place, I'm going to show up and represent Jesus. And I'm going to tell the truth. No matter what, I'm going to tell the truth. And I'm going to be expecting that as I do that, people are going to laugh me. To what are the words? They're going to laugh you and I to scorn. It's a choice. Let's pray. Dear God, help us. Lord, help me. Lord, I am so thankful for your reminders in this passage of worship, faith, fame. But Lord, I pray that you'd help us begin to be so in such a worshiping time with you that when we go out, Lord, that we'll just continue to stand on the truth and to be Jesus to this world. Let the Holy Spirit use us. And Lord, when they laugh at us, Lord, let us be as Jesus said later in the chapter where he says he looked over and he said it's as if they're sheep without a shepherd. It says he was moved with compassion. So Lord, instead of letting us be angry and aggravated and frustrated, Lord, let us look over that room, those people at work, those friends, where we may be, and just as Jesus said, forgive them for they know not what they do. And Lord, help us to be willing to be laughed at, even laughed to scorn as Jesus was. Lord, help us not to do anything in our lives that prevent us, Lord, from the very things that Jesus experienced. Lord, knowing that there was a girl who was dead and she was getting ready to live. And we got a lot of lost people on our list and our hearts, Lord, and knowing that it doesn't matter what people say, think, or do, but Lord, you might be just getting ready to make them live again. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.